I'm not telling you. Stop asking.
Frank sat back on his heels and used the back of his hand to wipe flecks of plaster and grouting, and who the fuck knew what, off his forehead.
Come on, Mikey, you have to tell me.
No.
Mikey dug unenthusiastically at the tiles with a spatula.
It's too weird.
You promised!
Frank scowled.
You promised you would still tell me shit even though I know him, Mikey. And it's not like I'm asking for a diagram, all right? I just want to know if it's, you know, how we thought it was.
Mikey frowned and tapped a spatula against the wall again, ignoring him. Frank made his eyes as big as he could and injected just the right amount of hurt into his tone.
We're supposed to be best friends.
Ugh.
Mikey put his spatula down and crawled backwards a little, checking through the doorway to see if anyone was listening. Then he crawled back and leaned in close to Frank.
Bigger,
he whispered.
Really?
Frank yelped, cringing when Mikey glared and shushed him.
Sorry, just bigger? Really? How big?
You said you didn't want a diagram,
Mikey reminded him. But he was totally grinning, Frank could tell.
Bigger,
Frank said reverently, attacking the tiles with renewed enthusiasm.
Wow. Just don't tell him I told you,
Mikey hissed.
Don't tell who you told him what,
said Ray, sticking his head and all of his hair around the door. Frank immediately collapsed into giggles, unable to stop even when Mikey sighed his most put-upon sigh. Ray glowered at him.
Fine, have your secrets. I came to tell you Bob needs help with the sink.
Thank God, said Mikey, dropping his spatula. My hand is killing me.
Yeah, Frank gave Mikey a hand up. That one tile you took off was a doozy.
You can't rush art,
Mikey sniffed. Frank shoved him out into the main room. Bob was lying underneath the sink Ray used to wash people's hair in, an impressive array of tools that Frank didn't even know what some of them were, lying around him.
Okay, he said. Frank, can you get in on the other side of Ray and take the weight off the sink when I detach it down here?
What should I do? Mikey asked. Bob pointed to a towel.
Hold that over my face and catch the water.
Frank got his hands under the sink. Shouldn't we turn it off?
Wow, genius! I didn't think of that, said Bob.
Frank kicked at him.
Brian turned it off already. It's just to make sure I don't get a face full of drips.
Where is he anyway? Ray wondered.
Craig sent him some stuff over. I think he's looking at those. I don't know.
Bob picked up one of the tools and clanked around with it under the sink for a while.
Okay, are you ready?
Ready,
Frank and Ray confirmed. Mikey waved his towel like a flag.
All right.
Bob's arms corded with the effort of what he was doing, and he grunted,
On the count of three, okay? One, two, three.
Frank nodded at Ray, and they both pulled as hard as they could, and the sink went flying up in the air, and a stream of water came shooting out of the wall, soaking Bob, who yelled and rolled out of the way, and hitting Mikey square in the face.
Glarg!
Mikey garbled, and Ray slipped over trying to get to him, and went crashing down to the floor on top of Bob, who bellowed in indignation, and Brian came running out to see what was going on, only Frank was laughing too hard to tell him, leaning on the wall and crying with it. Bob climbed to his feet and stood there looking full of rage, except he was dripping all over everything, and Ray's hair was soaked, and Mikey was just sitting there, staring at the wall, like he couldn't believe it had just done that to him. And every time Frank looked at them, it made him laugh harder. In the end, Mikey put his hand out and yanked on Frank's ankle until he fell on his ass in the water, soaking through his jeans immediately. But even that didn't stem the tide of giggles, and Frank just flopped on top of Mikey and rolled him around in the huge puddle, ignoring his indignant protests.
When you're finished, Brian said dryly, I have some news.
When they'd calmed down and dried off enough to listen, Brian said,
Okay, this is just a copy of the basic policy all Craig's employees have, and we'll probably need something a little different on account of our, increased risk factor, shall we say.
Brian gave Bob a look. A especially if you're going to keep soaking them every day. Anyway, here. Brian handed a sheaf of papers over to Frank.
I thought you should see them first.
Frank had no idea what Brian was talking about. Policy? Increased risk factor? He gave Brian a questioning look, but Brian just gestured at the papers, so Frank turned the first page. He read the first few lines. Then he read them again. Then he read them again. He looked up at Brian, who was beaming at him and practically clapping his hands.
Dude, Frank said reverently, health insurance?
I know, Brian said gleefully, and Frank grabbed him and hugged the shit out of him, ignoring it when Brian said something unimportant about not being able to breathe. I love you, Frank said reverently, I love you so fucking much. Brian laughed and patted Frank's shoulders before pushing him back and saying sternly, don't take this as an invitation to get sick though, okay?
Okay, Frank promised, bouncing on his toes. Man, I can't wait to tell my mom.
I can't wait for you to tell your mom either, said Mikey, holding his hand up for a high five. Frank slapped it and spun in a circle.
Man, health insurance, Bob got wet, this day can't get any better.
Said a voice that didn't belong to any of the people Frank knew were there.
Hi?
Gerard? Mikey's jaw actually dropped. Frank had never seen that happen before. It was interesting. He concentrated on that rather than the fact that Gerard was standing just inside the door, wearing the same black coat and billion scarves he was wearing the first time Frank met him. Frank couldn't concentrate on that because he was pretty sure it couldn't be real, and if he turned and looked directly at him, Frank would either wake up, or Gerard would disappear, or everyone would turn to stone, or...
I heard you guys fight evil here, Gerard said hesitantly.
It sounded like it was really him. Frank still didn't look.
I thought maybe you could use a spare pair of hands.
See there, it wasn't real, Frank heard Mikey say. But I thought the Cardinal said you couldn't work with us anymore. There was a long pause. Then Gerard said slowly,
Yeah, about that. It turns out there are some compromises I'm just not willing to make.
Brian cleared his throat. But won't you get in trouble? Not that I'm not glad to see you, Father. I just don't want you to...
Brian, Gerard interrupted him. Call me Gerard.
Mikey made a noise, and Frank looked up. Gerard had unwound his scarves and was holding the mess of tangled wool in his hands. He was wearing a t-shirt under his coat. His throat was bare.
Oh my God, Ray whispered.
Gerard took a deep breath. When I lost my ministry, he said, I spent a long time feeling like I wasn't doing any good. Then I met you guys, and that changed. And in the end, I wanted to be where...
Gerard's eyes met Frank's.
I wanted to be where I can do the most good.
And that's here?
Said Bob, in a voice tinged with disbelief. Gerard smiled hesitantly. It is, if you'll have me. I promise not to try and kill you all again, if that sweetens the deal any.
Wait, said Brian. Did you just refuse to stop working with us? Were you defrocked?
Laicized, Gerard corrected him. The Cardinal, well, I guess he managed to convince them that these were some pretty fucking extreme circumstances. I don't know.
You didn't tell me, Mikey said, disbelief dripping from every word. I spoke to you 2 days ago, and you didn't tell me.
I know, Gerard said apologetically. He dumped his scarves on the counter and then looked down at his hands, frowning, before shoving them into his pockets. I didn't want to put you in a position where...
I need to talk to Frank, he said decisively, meeting Frank's eyes for the first time.
First... Frank's head swam. He hung on to the chair next to him just to make sure he didn't actually pass out.
Mikey looked at Frank, then back at Gerard.
Yeah, we'll leave you alone. Frank was only vaguely aware of the guys filing out, although he did see Mikey yank Gerard into a hug as he moved past. After they left, silence settled in the room again. Gerard shuffled his feet, putting one hand out to touch the action figures Mikey had set up on the counter. He picked one of them up and examined it briefly before setting it down. "It's an Ewok," Frank said unnecessarily. "I know," said Gerard, even more so. Frank said, "Just to make sure I'm on the right page, you're not a priest anymore, right?" "I'm not a priest anymore," Gerard confirmed. He sounded terrified. They stared at each other for a moment, then Gerard said in a rush, "I didn't do it for you. I was doubting my place in the church long before we met, you know that." "I know," Frank said automatically. He wasn't even really aware that his mouth was moving. "That said," Gerard went on, looking somewhere over Frank's shoulder, "it would be grossly unfair of me to claim that my feelings for you weren't a factor. A big factor." Gerard shook his head a little, and then met Frank's eyes. "It wouldn't just be unfair, it would be a lie. I care for you very deeply, Frank." Frank held his breath, ignoring everything that was going crazy inside him. "But?" "When I entered the seminary, I was very young. Well, I actually wasn't all that young compared to some of the others. But I was straight out of college, and I hadn't done anything with my life except to be mad at everything all the time. Then I entered the seminary, and suddenly I had a purpose, and it very quickly became my whole life. It's been my life ever since. I've never really been just a person." Gerard looked nervously at Frank. "I'm not sure I know how. I've never... Relationships were never my strong point, not even the one with myself." That was bullshit, as far as Frank was concerned. Gerard had held down 5 perfectly good relationships over the past year, but Frank knew that wasn't what he meant, so he bit his tongue and forced himself to wait for Gerard to untangle what he was trying to say. "I'm not sure what I have to offer you right now," Gerard said carefully. "I don't want to screw this up, Frank. I don't want to rush into something and make a mess of it, and then..." He broke off and shoved his hands through his hair, visibly frustrated. "If I got it wrong," he tried again, "if I got it wrong, it would be..." "Gerard," Frank bit out, "what are you saying?" "When we had that fight in the kitchen at Pete's house," Gerard said hurriedly, like he was afraid Frank was going to throw him out if he didn't get to the point. "I told you not to wait for me." Frank's hands were fisted so tightly they were beginning to hurt. "And now?" Gerard finally stopped fidgeting and just looked at Frank, scared and hopeful. "I'm asking if you will." Frank breathed out, his stomach swooping. "No," he said.
"No, you..."
"Oh," Gerard stuttered, flushing and looking down at the floor. "No, I... It was stupid of me to expect anything, of course. When I spoke to Mikey, he said you seemed like you were doing just fine without me. I shouldn't have assumed..."
"I wasn't doing just fine," Frank said, unclenching his fists. "I was faking."
Gerard stopped babbling, giving Frank a nervous, confused glance. "Yeah, he said that too." "I'm not saying no to you, you dumb motherfucker." Frank crossed the room and stood in front of Gerard with his arms folded. "I'm saying no to your stupid, I'm not worthy bullshit. You think I'm going to like you better after you, I don't know, find yourself or whatever? Don't bother, okay? I found you. You're standing right there. Job done." Gerard's mouth twitched. "Okay?" "You know what I don't get about you?" Frank went on, raising his voice so Gerard couldn't interrupt him with any more monumentally stupid ideas. "How you know so much and fuck all at the same time. You think this," he gestured between them, "happens every day? Let me tell you something that I know, okay? If you find someone who would die for you, you don't wait around to see if it sticks." Gerard bit his lip. "What do? "You don't put me on hold," Frank snapped. "You don't invent more stupid reasons why you can't be with me now." "So then..." Gerard kind of reached for Frank, then took his hands back and waved them uncertainly in front of his chest. "But... so I would get to have you right away, is what you're saying?"
"Of course that's what I'm saying," Frank yelled, slamming his fist down on the counter. "What the fuck do you think I'm saying?"
Gerard put his hands on his hips and frowned.
Well, in my defense, this is confusing, okay? I came here to tell you how I feel about you, and now you're yelling at me.
That's because you're fucking arg.
Frank grabbed Gerard with both hands and yanked him in as hard as he could.
Just come here.
I just thought that I...
Gerard slid his arms around Frank's back and held on, opening his mouth to Frank's and letting Frank back him up against the counter.
You drive me fucking crazy, Frank tried to tell him, but he couldn't seem to stop kissing him long enough to make the words, so it came out as a moan, which was pretty much what he was trying to say anyway.
He cupped Gerard's face in his hands and stroked his cheekbones, his jaw, kissed him hard and deep until they were both breathless and Gerard's hands were clutching compulsively at Frank's shoulders.
I have to tell you something, he gasped, tipping his head back when Frank bit at his jaw.
Jesus Christ, what?
Frank growled, nipping with his teeth and then nuzzling to soothe it. Gerard laughed, the sound broken in the middle when Frank licked a broad, firm stripe up his throat and Gerard shivered all over.
It's the last thing, I promise.
Ugh, fine.
Frank bit his earlobe, grinning when it made Gerard squeak, and pulled back just enough to see his face.
Make it fast, though, for the love of God.
Gerard nodded hard.
Yeah, no, I will. I just... Okay, do you remember when we first met?
Well, not really when we first met, but like, after we got away from Luke, you know.
And then I came to see you after I got back from the Vatican, and...
Gerard, Frank said warningly, pressing Gerard back with his body and moving against him. I said, fast.
Fuck.
Gerard's eyes fluttered closed, and his hands closed hard on Frank's waist before he went on in a rush.
Do you remember I said that I hadn't been sure where my path was, and then I met you, and I thought God sent you to show me where I ought to be?
Frank scowled at the memory, and Gerard laughed breathlessly.
Yeah, you didn't like it then either. But the thing is, I still believe it. I still think it's true that I was meant to meet you, and the others, and we were meant to find a way to do the work we do. But I still couldn't understand about you, specifically.
Frank raised an eyebrow. What do you mean?
So many times since we met, I prayed to God to ask him why, Gerard said urgently. Why he would put you in front of me when I couldn't touch you. Why he made us so that we would want something we couldn't have from each other. I didn't understand why he had brought me into your life if all I was ever going to do was hurt you. And now I finally understand.
Well, that makes one of us, Frank said grumpily. He'd pretty much come to terms with believing in God whether he wanted to or not. But that didn't necessarily mean he was a fan.
Gerard disentangled himself a little, ignoring Frank's protests until he could hold on to Frank's hands. I was right the first time, he said, stroking Frank's palms with his thumbs. I just didn't think that the reason could be this simple, you know? I didn't consider that maybe I was supposed to meet you just because I was supposed to meet you.
Gerard. Frank looked down at their joined hands. Let me get this straight. You saved my life. You literally died for me. And now you're telling me you think God's plan is for us to be together?
Gerard smiled wonkily. Sums it up.
All of Frank's breath left his lungs in a rush, and his head spun, and he grabbed clumsily at Gerard's shoulders before he managed to get out.
You better make me that promise now, motherfucker.
And Gerard pulled him in and held him tight, not kissing, just holding, his hands warm on the back of Frank's head. Frank's face tucked into the crook of his neck, his fingers curled tight in Gerard's jacket.
It was never that I didn't want you, he whispered fiercely against Frank's hair. It was never, ever that.
Frank took a couple of deep, shuddering breaths, rubbing his face against Gerard's throat. Gerard kissed his ear and whispered his name. Frank lifted up and found his mouth, kissing him softly now, unclenching his hand so he could touch Gerard's face with his fingertips.
Let me take you home,
he murmured against Gerard's lips, and Gerard sighed, stroking his fingers through Frank's hair and pressing another kiss to the corner of his mouth.
Let me take you home, G.
Okay. Gerard nodded, and when they managed to pull away from each other, he reached down and took Frank's hand. Gerard looked around curiously when Frank ushered him into the house. "Is your mom home?" Frank took Gerard's hand again and led him up the stairs. "She has work, and then she's getting her hair done. She'll be gone for like a month. Here, this is my room." He pushed the door open. He felt oddly shy, showing his childhood bedroom to Gerard. His mom hadn't done that creepy thing of keeping it a shrine to him or anything, but it hadn't changed all that much. Single bed, low desk against the wall, a few photographs scattered around. "We didn't find new apartments yet," he said, shutting the door behind Gerard. "So, you know, back with the mothership for a while." "You and me both," Gerard said ruefully. He shrugged his coat off, unwound his scarves, and dumped the whole mess on the desk, then twisted his hands together, looking awkwardly at Frank.
So,
Frank agreed, dropping his own jacket on the chair. All his ranting at the shop aside, the last thing he wanted was for Gerard to do something he wasn't prepared for it to be something he would regret. He also really, really didn't want a repeat of that night at Craig's house. He moved towards Gerard and put his arms around him, kissed him until he felt Gerard start to get into it and relax. "We don't have to rush this," he said softly, moving his hands over Gerard's back, "if you're not ready."
"I'm ready," Gerard said quickly, blushing when Frank laughed. He ducked his head.
"I'm just really nervous."
"That's understandable." Frank kissed him some more, taking his time, stroking Gerard's tongue with his own, keeping it light until Gerard pressed in, asking for more, deeper. And as soon as he did, Frank gave it to him. He actually wasn't nervous himself, weirdly. He just felt awesome. But then, it hadn't been 100 years since he had sex. And also, he had never been a member of the clergy. He felt a tug at his waist and looked down to see Gerard's fingers curled in the hem of his shirt.
"Can I see you?" Gerard said shyly, and Frank yanked the shirt over his head in one movement, tossing it carelessly off to the side.
Gerard's eyes went wide, and he bit his lip, hands coming out to smooth over the skin on Frank's chest and belly, touching each of his tattoos in turn.
"These," he said, flattening his palms over the birds on Frank's hips. "I couldn't think about anything else after I saw them, Frankie."
Frank barely bit back a moan. It was just surreal to look down and see Gerard's hands moving on his skin. He pressed into every touch, trying to encourage him, and Gerard gained confidence quickly, leaning in for a kiss as he stroked down Frank's belly and rested his hands on his belt. They'd both taken their shoes off downstairs, so it was easy for Frank to unbuckle, unzip, and get rid of his jeans. He realized belatedly that maybe Gerard might have assumed Frank would be wearing underwear, but it was too late now, and anyway, Gerard didn't seem to be complaining. Slightly shell-shocked, maybe, his comically wide eyes centered squarely on Frank's dick, but not complaining.
"You," he said in a strangled voice, then fumbled to pull Frank close to him, kissing him hard and moving his hands all over Frank's hips and thighs.
"You're fucking beautiful," he said. And the thing was that Frank could tell he really meant it, that it wasn't seduction, wasn't flattery or hyperbole. It was what Gerard thought, and he wanted to say it.
"You're beautiful all over."
Frank didn't know what to say to that, so as a reply, he lifted Gerard's own shirt over his head, watching him carefully to make sure he was okay with it. Gerard's instinct was obviously to cover himself up with his arms, but Frank caught his hands and held them down by his sides, just letting himself look. Gerard's skin was pale and smooth-looking, and Frank could feel the warmth coming off him, and he had to touch him right that second or he was going to go insane. Gerard whimpered when Frank got his hands on him, arching up into the press of Frank's hands, a deep pink flush on his cheeks. He stuttered, but when Frank leaned in and started kissing his shoulder, whatever else he was going to say was lost in a sigh. He was shy, definitely, but he was eager, sliding his hands around Frank's waist and squeezing them when Frank mouthed the dip of his collarbone, the hollow at the base of his throat. Frank moved further into the circle of his arms, and they both moaned at the feel of it,
skin on warm skin, Frank's cock riding Gerard's thigh, and it was almost painful, the burn of denim on skin, but it was so fucking good. Gerard's chest rose and fell rapidly with his breath, which hitched in his throat when Frank stroked his chest, his sides.
"Oh," Gerard said in a choked little voice, his hips jerking under Frank's hands like he couldn't help it. But there was an edge of panic there, too.
"Yeah, okay."
Frank stilled his hands immediately. "Too fast?" Gerard shook his head.
"It's not that. It's just been a while since anyone's, you know, seen me, naked."
"Oh." Frank pressed a kiss to the soft place underneath Gerard's jaw and let his fingers wander a little, tracing the skin right above Gerard's waistband, pressing in until he could hook his fingertips underneath. "How long, exactly?"
"Oh, you know," Gerard said, probably aiming for casual, but ending up somewhere around hysteria. "Just a decade, plus, and this may come as a shock to you, but I wasn't exactly Don Juan before that, you know? Shit, Frank, I don't know what I'm doing."
"It's okay," Frank murmured, slipping his thighs between Gerard's and pressing up. "I do."
Gerard whined a little, pressing against Frank, then pulled back and nodded. "Yeah, no, okay, okay. Ah, okay.
Okay," Frank repeated solemnly, popping the first button open. The others followed easily, and Frank gave Gerard another kiss to reassure him, before going down on his knees so he could peel Gerard's socks off, and then the jeans, too. When they were gone, Gerard stared down at him, obviously turned on and equally terrified. Frank slid his hands up Gerard's legs, leaning up to loop his arms around Gerard's hips. He rested his forehead against Gerard's belly. "I can't believe you're really here," he said, sliding his hands down to rest on either side of Gerard's hips, at the join where his body met his thighs. He looked up. Gerard was panting harshly, his hands holding onto Frank's shoulders like that was the only thing keeping him upright. Frank curled his fingers in the waistband of his underwear, raising his eyebrows, and Gerard hesitated for just a moment before nodding, stumbling a step backward so he could brace his shoulders against the door. Frank kept his eyes averted until Gerard was bare. Then he just let himself look at all the places Gerard was soft under his fingers, the places where Frank could trace lines with his lips, at the evidence that Gerard wanted this just as much as Frank did. Frank swept his hands over Gerard's hips and thighs, pressed in closer to rub his face against Gerard's belly and kiss everything he could reach, letting his hands wander over Gerard's ass and between his legs. When he sat back on his heels and brought his hand to cover Gerard's cock, Gerard shook his head and stammered,
"I'm not... Frank, shit, shit, I'm not gonna make it. Don't..."
"Don't what?" Frank said innocently, curling his hand around Gerard and stroking him gently.
"Frankie," Gerard whined, letting his head fall back against the door with a thump.
He wasn't kidding either. He was already leaking in Frank's hand. Frank leaned in and licked at the wetness there, took just the head of Gerard's cock into his mouth and sucked, gently, still stroking him with his hand. Gerard's hands flexed on his shoulders, slid up to tangle in his hair instead, and Frank could already feel Gerard shaking against him.
"Frankie, Frankie, that feels... fuck," Gerard groaned, writhing against the door a little.
Frank hummed around him and rubbed the underside of his cock with his tongue. It was overwhelming. His lips stretched around Gerard's cock, the weight on his tongue, the hands alternately tugging and stroking his hair. He pressed down as far as he could, until his lips met his own fist, and swallowed. Gerard made a noise like he was dying, and his hands tightened on Frank's head to the point of pain, and he came, shuddering and panting and flooding Frank's mouth. Frank swallowed and pulled off, resting his head on Gerard's hip and panting a little himself, wrapping his arms around Gerard's waist to make sure he didn't collapse.
"Fuck," Gerard gasped above him. "Oh, fuck, Frank. I feel like my legs have dissolved."
Frank chuckled and kissed Gerard's hip one more time before struggling to his feet. "In that case, I think the bed might be a good idea." He squeezed Gerard's hand and turned toward the bed. Gerard made a strange gasping sound, and it was only then that Frank remembered about his scars.
Don't, he said, starting to turn around, but it was too late. Gerard had pushed himself up off the door and was there behind Frank, his hands coming to rest lightly against Frank's back. Frank squeezed his eyes shut and bit his tongue. Gerard said, hushed, "Do they hurt?" All Frank wanted to do was turn around, hide himself, put his fucking clothes back on. But that wasn't fair, not when Gerard was being so brave. Instead, he gritted his teeth and forced himself to answer, "No, they're just ugly." "No," Gerard murmured, slipping in closer and brushing his lips against the back of Frank's neck. "They're not." His arms encircled Frank's waist, and he tugged him back against his chest for a moment before urging him toward the bed. Frank stumbled forward, suddenly feeling like he was the one who didn't know what he was doing, nervous and unsure. But when Gerard pressed him down with a hand on his shoulder, Frank went easily, climbing onto the bed and lying down flat on his front, his arms wrapped around a pillow. The bed dipped. Frank felt Gerard's knees settling either side of his thighs, felt Gerard's fingertips sweep over his shoulders. "They're not ugly," he said, and leaned down to press his mouth against the back of Frank's neck. He moved his hand slowly, deliberately, tracing lines across Frank's skin and following with kisses. Frank pressed his face into the pillow and just tried to breathe. He'd been strangely unaware of his own arousal while he was concentrating on Gerard. But now it all came slamming back into him like a tidal wave. He was hot all over, and all the skin Gerard hadn't touched yet was tingling in anticipation. "You don't ever have to be ashamed of these, Frankie," Gerard murmured, his lips moving against Frank's shoulder blade. "You got these because you're brave, because you're selfless, because you were chosen for something. You should be proud of them." He shifted and licked up Frank's spine. Frank whimpered and pressed his hips down into the bed, rubbing his cock against the mattress. He couldn't help it. Gerard made a soft, appreciative noise and settled his hands on the small of Frank's back. "I know you didn't choose them," he said, stroking the skin there, his fingers venturing down a little further each time. Frank bit his lip and struggled not to arch up into it and freak Gerard out. "But they're just like your tattoos. They're part of this story in your skin, telling the world about this huge thing that happened to you, this thing that you survived, the sacrifice you were willing to make to keep other people safe." Gerard was so gentle. He was always so gentle. Frank might have been almost lulled to sleep by his warm voice and the steady movements. If he hadn't been so turned on, he was about to explode. Gerard grew bolder as he went on, sliding his hands over Frank's ass, pressing a wet, open kiss to the base of his spine, another at the back of his thigh. By the time he slid off the end of the bed and urged Frank to turn over, Frank was just a whimpering mess who would have done anything Gerard told him just to get more of his hands in his mouth. All Gerard was asking him to do was turn onto his back, though, so Frank twisted around on the sheets, too turned on to be embarrassed by the way his cock stood up over his belly. Gerard's eyes raked over him, that eat-you-alive look Frank remembered from that night at Craig's, and he shivered underneath Gerard's gaze. Gerard bent his head and pressed one kiss to each of Frank's feet, over the red, raised circles there. Then he climbed back onto the bed and crawled up Frank's body, settling over his thighs and lifting up Frank's hands. "I wish you had never had to hurt," he said, and kissed the inside of Frank's left wrist. "But I wouldn't want you to lose these, not now." Gerard turned Frank's hand over and kissed the other side before raising his right wrist to his lips. "They mean too much." A second kiss, and then Gerard was pulling Frank to sit up, stroking his hair out of his face and cupping his cheeks in his hands. He smiled a little shyly before bending down to kiss his way across Frank's forehead. "They're the marks of God's plan for you, Frankie," he whispered against Frank's temple. "They're beautiful." "Kiss me," Frank begged, and Gerard did, winding his arms around Frank's neck as Frank gathered him closer. Gerard was starting to get hard again. Frank felt it against his own cock, pressed together between their bodies. He pushed up with his hips, and they both moaned. The air in the room seemed damp and thick, and Frank struggled to fill his lungs.
Fuck,
he gasped when he had to tear himself away from Gerard's mouth because his head was starting to swim. He gripped Gerard's knees where they were tight around his hips.
Fuck, Gerard, I need to be in you. Please let me, Gerard, please.
Gerard said, yeah, yeah, and sat back to let Frank rummage in the nightstand with shaky, desperate hands. Frank put the condom on first, then poured some lube over his fingers, looking up at Gerard as he guided his hand back between his legs. Okay? Gerard nodded. He looked so nervous, and Frank settled his other hand on his hip, stroking the damp, warm skin there. He thought maybe this wasn't going to work, that Gerard would be too tense, that it had been too long. But the first press of Frank's finger inside him had Gerard moaning and arching his back, head falling back as he clutched at Frank's shoulders.
Fuck,
he said, his voice strained, as his cock jerked visibly. Yeah. Frank had to lean up and mouth at the line of Gerard's throat, salt sting on his tongue and the rapid beat of Gerard's pulse underneath the skin. He sucked there lightly as he slid a second finger in beside the first and crooked them, pressing deliberately against Gerard's prostate and grinning when it made Gerard whine and buck. Frank kept that up for a while, then with more lube and three fingers. He licked his way around Gerard's throat, pressing a ring of kisses there, working his finger inside Gerard with his other hand wrapped around his cock, not stroking, just holding, so he could feel Gerard's pulse there too, feel the rush under the hot, soft skin when Frank touched him just right. Gerard was sweating and shaking by now, gasping half words between sucking in huge breaths. And when he actually started to push down on Frank's fingers by himself, that was seriously all Frank could take. Okay, okay. He pulled away enough to shove his pillows into a pile behind him, so he could lean back on them and still keep his arms around Gerard. He found the lube and spilled some more into his hand, slicking himself perfunctorily until he realized Gerard was watching his hand move with huge dark eyes. Frank slowed it down a little then, stroking himself properly, but he couldn't take much of it, he just didn't have the control.
Okay, he said again. His face was burning, and the flush on Gerard's cheeks had spread all the way down to his chest.
He lifted up and shuffled forward when Frank touched his hips. Put your hands on the headboard, Frank told him. And Gerard did it, staring down at Frank the whole time. Frank pushed up to kiss him, then settled back against the pillows. Take it slow, he said, holding Gerard open with one hand and guiding his cock with the other. Gerard nodded jerkily and started pushing himself down onto Frank's cock, his eyes fixed on the ceiling, his lower lip caught hard in his teeth.
Gee, Frank moaned, clutching at him. He wanted to be gentle. He knew they had to take it easy, but it was so good, the hot, tight clutch of Gerard around him, the friction when Gerard caught his breath and lifted back up a little before sinking back down. Frank ground his teeth and forced himself to hold still. Gerard let out a shaky, determined breath and sank all the way down, suddenly, so that Frank was completely inside him. Gerard curled forward, abruptly, hands dropping from the headboard to come up around Frank's face. He kissed him, deep and a little desperate, rocking a little into Frank's lap, sighing and biting down on Frank's lip when Frank got his hands on Gerard's hips and started helping him to move. He didn't move up and down so much as they just rocked together, Frank rolling his hips and Gerard following his lead. It was best like this, because they could kiss. And Frank could put his arms around Gerard and whisper reassurance and encouragement to him, tell him how amazing he was, how good he felt, how much Frank wanted him. Eventually, Gerard started to move more and harder, making little noises that were half pleasure, half frustration. Frank wrapped his hand around Gerard's cock and stroked him in time with the rhythm they'd set. And Gerard gasped and kicked with his hips, but that still wasn't it. Frank could tell he was looking for something else, and maybe just didn't know how to get it. Lean back, he said, nodding when Gerard looked skeptical. It's okay, I got you. He wrapped his hands firmly around Gerard's waist. He had to let go of Gerard's cock to do it,
prompting Gerard to make an unhappy noise, and eased him backwards, wriggling down himself a little so he could lift his hips up off the bed and really thrust. "Back," he bit out, because it felt fucking amazing, and he wasn't going to be able to hang on much longer. "Back further, G. It's okay. I've got you. Trust me." Gerard gave him another worried look, but leaned back finally, and Frank lifted him up and dragged him down again, hard, slamming his hips up off the bed and thrusting into him for real, crying out with pleasure and relief. Gerard gave a strangled half-yell and let Frank support his weight so he could get his own hands around his cock, stroking himself and shuddering as Frank thrust up into him over and over. Unable to stop now he'd started. He'd been waiting for this for so long. His eyes were stinging with how good it felt. His vision was blurred, and he could barely see, but he could hear the noises Gerard was making. Beautiful, desperate, overwhelmed sounds. And he could feel Gerard tightening even further around him. Feel his movements start to stutter and lose focus. And he blinked furiously so that he could see it when the flush in Gerard's chest deepened, and his eyes and mouth were open so wide as he gasped and shook all over and came, writhing and panting, a total mess. The most incredible thing Frank had ever seen. He could feel it the minute the intensity started to fade, and Gerard's spine started to buckle. The stupid fucking tiny bed was too small for Frank to just roll them over, so he had to ease Gerard off his cock for an excruciating minute while he scrambled up and pushed Gerard over to lie on his back, cursing in frustration until he could slide back in. Gerard brought his legs up around Frank's hips and encouraged him with hands on his back and his voice in Frank's ear. "So good. I didn't know it would be like this. You're so... ah, so good. You're..." His breath hitched, and he stuttered out, "Love... I love you, Frankie. I love you. I love you. I love you." "So much," Frank answered, surging into him, shoving his tongue into Gerard's mouth as he felt his orgasm coming on, coiling in his belly and between his legs, and spreading out until he felt like he was on fire all the way down to his toes. And he wrapped Gerard around him as tightly as he could and just went with it, riding the wave of pleasure right out to the edge and then over it, pounding into Gerard and saying his name over and over and over again, shaking as he fell apart at the seams and just collapsed, gasping and twitching with aftershocks, waiting to be put back together again. Eventually, he managed to work his limbs enough to pull out and get rid of the condom and pull the covers up. Gerard curled willingly into his arms, and Frank kissed him, on his cheek and his nose and his mouth, and that was pretty much it before they both dozed off for a while. Frank blinked awake because a phone rang. "It's mine," Gerard said blurrily, stirring under Frank's arm. "Where?" "I'll get it." Frank slipped out of bed and dug through Gerard's clothes until he found the phone, then hurried back to Gerard, snuggling back down under the covers. "Thanks." Gerard took the phone and squinted at it before answering. "Mikey? Hey." "No, I know. I'm sorry. I'm fine. I'm with Frank," he said, his voice going shy and turning up at the corners. Frank grinned and kissed under his ear. "Do you want me to..." "No, okay." "Yeah, I will." "Okay. Bye." Gerard folded the phone up and bent his arm backwards to slide it onto the nightstand. "He says to take our time." "That's why I love him," Frank said, rolling until he was mostly on top of Gerard and could kiss him properly. Gerard agreed, then said enthusiastically, "I feel so good, you know? Like it's been a really long time since I just felt good all over. Physically, I mean. I forgot what that's like." Frank spread his arms and legs out so he could touch as much of Gerard at once as possible. "Seriously, man, how did you ever give it up?" "I don't know," Gerard said seriously. "It wasn't ever, well, let's just say I don't remember it being like that." "Me neither," Frank said honestly. Gerard smiled shyly at him. Frank settled against him and closed his eyes. if this turns out to be a dream, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, Gerard said thoughtfully, not that this isn't amazing and everything, but in your dreams, are we usually being observed by a framed picture of you in your high school uniform?
Oh, God. Frank fumbled his hand up over Gerard's face to cover his eyes, grinning when it made Gerard laugh and squirm.
No, come on, don't look at it. Don't. It's from before I got cute.
You should see mine, Gerard laughed, then pulled Frank's hand off his eyes and peered at him.
Unless you already have. Have you met my parents?
Frank shook his head, and Gerard raised an eyebrow.
Not through Mikey?
I told you. Frank slid off to the side a little and rearranged the covers around their shoulders. Mikey never talked about his family.
Gerard let his head fall back on the pillow, bringing his hand up to rub viciously at his eye. I have so much big brothering to make up for.
Well, don't get all crazy with it. Frank captured his hand and held it against his chest before Gerard could blind himself. No chasing Ray off the porch with a shotgun, okay?
Gerard laughed, shaking his head.
Shit, Mikey and Ray.
Hey, I think it's great. Frank really did, too. And it was such a fucking relief to have the edge of jealousy taken off.
You know Toro's going to treat that kid like gold.
Yeah, said Gerard. He sounded off, and when Frank looked up at him, he was frowning deeply. Frank could tell he was going down that don't deserve this, going to fuck it up route again, so he pushed himself up on his elbow and made Gerard look at him.
Listen to me. Nobody is expecting you to be King Normal, okay? I know it's going to take you some time to adjust. I'm okay with that.
Gerard smiled wonkily. It's just that I have this history of getting it wrong.
Well then, congratulations, said Frank, patting his chest. You're exactly the same as everyone else.
Guess so, Gerard said quietly.
Gee, it's like you said. Frank sat up and pulled Gerard with him. It's like with my scars. I wouldn't change you, not at all. Whatever happened, it already happened. And if it was different, then maybe we wouldn't be here right now. God has a plan for you too, right?
Gerard looked down. His shoulders hitched a little, and when he looked up, his eyes were full, but he was smiling.
You have no idea what it means to me to hear you say that.
He was wrong. Frank had some idea, at least. But he just cradled Gerard's face in his hands and kissed him.
I love you.
He whispered against Gerard's mouth.
I love you just like this, exactly as you are.
Later, when Frank reluctantly released Gerard from his bed because he had a family who loved him and needed to see him or some bullshit, they stood kissing in the front hall for a while.
Oh, said Gerard, fumbling in the pocket of his coat, I have something for you.
He uncurled his fingers and Frank looked down to see the rosary nestled in the palm of his hand. His breath caught, and he didn't know what to say for a moment.
You're not going to turn it down again, Gerard said nervously. Right?
Gerard lifted his hand and wound the beads gently around Frank's wrist. Frank touched them with his free hand. His throat was tight, and his fucking eyes were filling up. He blinked and rolled his eyes at himself and said, Don't try to change your mind, though, okay? It's mine now.
Gerard smiled, broad, happy, and relieved. He said, It always was.
Six months later.
She's not here.
Mikey looked at Frank sideways. Frank took a drag on his cigarette and exhaled, looking back.
She's here, Mikey said.
Frank looked at Bob, who shrugged and said,
If Mikey says she's here, she's probably here.
But you've been saying that for the last 3 days, Frank complained, blowing smoke in Mikey's face. Mikey wrinkled his nose and half-heartedly tried to wave it away.
I'm just saying, we've been sitting here for hours, okay? My ass is completely numb and probably permanently flat.
It was already permanently flat, Mikey said immediately. Then cocked his head slightly, his eyebrows creasing very faintly.
What is it?
I don't know yet, Mikey frowned. Then he said, randomly,
I'm thinking about getting LASIK. Bob made a face.
That laser's in your eyes, shit?
My glasses keep getting broken, Mikey said, then slithered off the bench they were sitting on and headed over to a big gaggle of kids who'd just come into view on the other side of the park. Frank and Bob followed him, but stayed far enough back that it didn't look like they were all together. Mikey had his thing, his Mikey power, or whatever it was, to find these people. And they mostly seemed to trust him, but for some reason, Frank and Bob didn't have the same effect. Frank understood it with Bob. Dude could look pretty intimidating when he wanted to, all beard and Mr. Angry Eyes. But Frank didn't see what was so off-putting about a regular short dude. Gerard said it was all his tattoos. Whatever. They could see Mikey moving through the group, pretty much indistinguishable from the rest of them, really. He stopped and touched the arm of a red-haired girl wearing a fedora.
I hate this part, Bob confided to Frank. This is the part where fights start.
It was true. Sometimes people, or their friends, didn't like Mikey rolling up all, "Oh, hey, total stranger, let me tell you how me and my friends can help you with your supernatural woes." And then Mikey might end up with a fist headed for his face. That's why Bob and Frank went with him in the first place. This time, though, it didn't happen. The girl didn't look thrilled, and she hugged herself with skinny arms while Mikey spoke to her. But in the end, she nodded and took the card Mikey held out. Some of the other kids were giving them curious looks when Mikey slipped away to rejoin Frank and Bob.
She'll come in Monday, he said as they started making their way back to the street.
Frank flicked his cigarette butt away.
She said that?
Mikey shook his head.
She will, though. You're so creepy when you're like this, Bob observed.
Mikey rolled his eyes. When they got back to the shop, Brian and Ray were in Ray's room doing something that smelled really terrible. Frank didn't know. He left Mikey and Bob to fill them in and slipped into the back room instead, where Gerard was practically hidden behind a huge pile of books on the desk.
Hey, Frank called, softly, but Gerard still startled and flailed his arms out, knocking at least half the pile onto the floor.
Frank laughed and bent down to start picking them up.
Sorry.
Not your fault. Gerard crouched down to help Frank stack the books up again. His hair was everywhere, and he had pencil smudges on his nose. He caught Frank staring and smiled, shyly.
Hi, by the way.
Hi.
Frank bent over awkwardly, still on his knees and clutching an armful of books, and pressed his mouth to Gerard's in a brief kiss.
Mikey found our girl. She says she's going to come in on Monday. Are you ready to leave?
I don't know. Gerard straightened up and looked worriedly at his desk. I still have a lot of research to do. Visions of the Virgin Mary is a big deal, Frank.
I know that, Frank said, knowing he sounded surly and not caring. Whatever, it wasn't like he was jealous that some random chick was getting visions of Mary, whatever Mikey said.
He dumped his armful of books on the desk and moved around it, putting himself between Gerard and his work.
Come on, G, he coaxed, biting Gerard's chin gently when he frowned. It's Saturday. You're allowed to leave before the sun goes down once in a blue fucking moon, all right?
Gerard wavered, but Frank stayed where he was, forcing Gerard to look at him instead of his books. And eventually Gerard sighed and nodded reluctantly.
Okay, let me just finish up.
5 minutes, Frank warned him, releasing him and moving towards the door to the main room. I'm going to say goodnight to the guys, and don't even think about bringing those books home.
Gerard froze, his hand, which had a fucking book in it, Frank wasn't blind, halfway to his bag.
It's just a small one, he said guiltily, making pleading eyes at Frank. I won't read it in bed or anything.
Frank had heard that before. Promises, promises.
They all ended up leaving at the same time for once, which seemed to make Gerard feel better about not falling asleep over his desk. When they got home, Gerard barely waited for Frank to close the door before pushing him up against it and kissing the hell out of him, which was awesome, but totally unexpected. Frank went with it, though, wrapping his arms around Gerard's neck and kissing him back.
Gerard still had a pretty serious business attitude to sex, so on the rare occasion he was spontaneous or playful, Frank did everything he could to encourage him. Gerard pulled away enough to tug Frank's shirt over his head and then went back to work on his jeans.
"Right here?" Frank blinked at the top of Gerard's head. "Before dinner, even?"
Gerard looked up, and the grin he gave Frank was so completely gleeful at his own daring that Frank laughed out loud. Gerard kissed Frank's mouth again, then lifted the rosary over Frank's head and handed it to him. Frank wound it around his hand carefully and slipped it into his pocket, while Gerard nosed under his jaw and kissed his throat, his shoulders, his chest, slipping his hands into Frank's jeans. Frank sighed and pushed up into the touch, resting his hands on Gerard's hips.
"I was thinking about this while you were out today,"
Gerard whispered in Frank's ear.
"Yeah?"
Frank shivered. Sometimes it seemed like Gerard didn't think about sex at all, unless Frank was laying it out right in front of him. The idea of Gerard thinking about this, wanting it when Frank wasn't even there, made him tingle all over and press closer.
"What were you thinking?"
"Just about you," Gerard said shyly, working Frank's jeans down over his hips. Frank arched away from the door to help. "How you feel? How you sound?" Frank made a pathetic noise, and Gerard went down on his knees, looking up and smiling a little bashfully. He wrapped his hand around Frank's cock and leaned forward to slide his tongue over the head.
"Shit."
Frank let his head fall back against the door, his hand sliding into Gerard's hair. The feel of Gerard's wet mouth around him, hot and fucking gorgeous, it was like it was new every time. Frank would never ever get used to it, and he didn't want to, either. He loved the way Gerard's eyelashes fluttered against his cheeks, the way he still had to pull off to breathe every so often, the pleased noises he made when Frank moaned or sighed or rocked gently into his mouth. Gerard was a quick study. It hadn't taken him long at all to learn what Frank liked best, but he didn't always put that knowledge to use. Frank couldn't really tell if it was because he liked to tease or because he just forgot. But today wasn't one of those times anyway. He let Frank grip his jaw and rock deeper into his mouth. He rubbed with his tongue in the way that made Frank's eyes roll back in his head, touched the skin behind his balls with his fingertips, and hummed when Frank jerked and whimpered, encouraging him. The humming was really Frank's undoing. He couldn't take the vibration on top of everything else, Gerard's mouth, his hands, and he eased Gerard back a little before he came, gasping, his hands cupped around Gerard's face. One thing Gerard couldn't get the hang of was afterglow. He was back on his feet and pushing his tongue into Frank's mouth before Frank could even start to get his breath back. It was okay. There were worse crimes. And besides, it turned Frank on to know that Gerard was so into it he couldn't wait. He waited long enough for his heart to slow down a little, then kicked out of his jeans and walked Gerard backwards until he bumped into the couch and sat down unexpectedly. "Oof," he said, then smiled and reached his hands out for Frank. He totally had a thing for Frank being naked when he was still fully clothed, but he wouldn't admit it, and he got all red-faced and weird if Frank brought it up. Frank started to kneel on the floor, but Gerard pulled him up into his lap instead. Frank went willingly and worked Gerard's tie loose, lifting the loop up over his head and dropping it on the floor. "I don't know why you wear those things," he said, and leaned in to cover Gerard's mouth with his own so he wouldn't have to hear Gerard's manifesto on how formal wear helped him concentrate. He wormed his hands down between their bodies and palmed over Gerard's cock, hard inside his pants. Gerard whined and pushed up. Frank undid his pants easily and took Gerard in his hands, bringing him to orgasm with just a few strokes. "You see," Frank said after a few minutes, "this is why there's always twice as many of your clothes in the laundry." Gerard didn't even open his eyes. "It's not my fault you're such a nympho." "Hey," Frank poked him, "who pushed who up against the door?"
"I did," Gerard said giddily.
Frank laughed and kissed his cheek. "Come on, I'm starving." Gerard was a way better cook than Frank, so Frank left him to it while he took a shower. He could hear Gerard talking to himself while he was toweling off.
Well, not to himself, probably. But technically, there was nobody else in the kitchen. Frank grinned and went into the bedroom to find his sweats. He hung the rosary over his lampshade, touching the crucifix with two fingers. He rummaged in his nightstand and fished out the ointment Ray made for him, unscrewing the cap and rubbing some quickly onto his feet, wrists, and forehead. Then he padded into the kitchen to find Gerard poking enthusiastically at the stove. He looked up when Frank came in. Frank waggled the tub at him. "I think they're still getting better," Gerard said when he'd got Frank turned around and was sweeping his hands over Frank's back. "But they're not fading as fast as they did last time, are they?"
"No," said Frank. He looked down at his wrists. He was sort of getting used to them, in a way. But he was glad for his tattoos. He thought they would stand out a lot more on bare skin.
Gerard kissed the back of his shoulders. "All done." Frank turned around and took the tub back, dabbing some onto his own fingers so he could smooth it over the side of Gerard's neck. The scar there was very faint, and Frank could only see it when he was up this close. He was pretty determined to keep it that way. They ate dinner on the couch so they could watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire at the same time. Frank almost choked on his rice when Gerard started yelling at the guy on screen, so incredulous that he didn't know who wrote The Dark is Rising that his voice got all squeaky and his ears turned red. "He obviously hasn't read it, G," Frank laughed, dodging a fork to the eye. "Then he shouldn't be allowed on television," Gerard fumed. "This is insulting!" Televised morons aside, the rest of the evening passed without incident. When Frank returned from brushing his teeth, he found Gerard sitting up in bed, wearing pajamas and reading the book he'd smuggled home from work. Frank leaned in the doorway and folded his arms. "That wasn't the deal, baby." Gerard looked up and made a guilty face, closing the book hurriedly and stowing it in his nightstand. "It's just there's this one chapter that..." "No," Frank said firmly. He slid into bed next to Gerard and pulled him down, wrapping around him so he couldn't read or do anything equally annoying and inappropriate for their fucking bedroom. "It's after midnight anyway. Day of rest, officially." Gerard clicked his tongue. "That's convenient." "Hey, I don't make the rules." Frank snuggled them down further under the covers. He could feel Gerard's fingers running over his back, tracing the lines in his skin there. He wriggled a little, and Gerard made a soft noise, but didn't stop. "Mass tomorrow," Gerard said quietly. Frank groaned, purely out of habit. Gerard wheedled. "We can go to that bakery you like on the way back." Frank pretended to think about it. "I do like that bakery. Do you think there'll ever come a day when I don't have to bribe you into church with free pastries?" "Sure," Frank said comfortably. "The day I no longer fit into any of my pants." Gerard laughed, and Frank leaned over him to turn off the lamp. He lay back down and found Gerard's mouth in the darkness. "Good night."
"Good night, Frankie."
He woke up a few hours later, groggy and sticky-eyed, and instantly aware that something was wrong. He rolled over, and sure enough, Gerard's side of the bed was empty and cold, and there was a soft slither of light coming from under the door to the living room. Frank rubbed his hands over his face and sighed before sliding out of bed and opening the door. "Gee, what the hell?" Gerard was sitting in a chair with his back to Frank. He didn't even look around, probably too engrossed in his fucking book as usual. Frank marched up behind him. "This is ridiculous, Gerard. I try to be patient with you, God knows, but it is not unreasonable for me to expect you to sleep one night through in the damp bed." Frank reached the chair just as Gerard spun around to face him. He wasn't reading. He was fully dressed, and he was wearing his...
"Are you wearing your collar?" Frank gasped. "Is this a fucking joke? Because I don't have words for how not funny it is, man."
Gerard didn't say a word. He just smiled, and it was weird because it didn't look like his smile. It looked like he was wearing someone else's, and Frank felt the anger in his veins go cold and turn into something else. Gerard's hand moved, and Frank's eyes were drawn to it. He was holding the rosary,
Frank's rosary. And as Frank watched in horror, the skin on Gerard's fingers began to sear and crackle everywhere he touched the wooden beads.
"No," said Frank, taking a clumsy step backwards. "No, we fixed you. I saved you."
"Saved me?" Gerard laughed, watching his hand burn with detached interest. "Is that what you think?"
He got up from the chair, and Frank turned and ran, or he tried to anyway. It felt like he was stuck in tar or something. He couldn't get away, and when he opened his mouth, Gerard's hand covered it, muffling the sound.
"Don't scream,"
he whispered. And then Luke was there, advancing on Frank with his hands outstretched, a manic smile on his wizened, blank-eyed face.
"Frankie, Frankie," he cooed in his cracked old voice.
And Frank struggled and kicked and bit, but he couldn't get free, he couldn't. Gerard was gone, he was gone again, and this time Frank wouldn't be able to save him, and it was all for nothing, it had all been for nothing.
"Frank!"
Frank's eyes flew open, and he found that Gerard was in front of him now. Frank threw a punch, which missed by a mile because he couldn't fucking move. It was like all his limbs were filled with sand.
"Frankie, it's me!"
Gerard grabbed at his hands and held them still.
"Wake up! It's okay! It's only a dream!"
Frank shook his head. His chest heaved, and his heart was hammering, and there was cold sweat running down his temples and the back of his neck. He fought Gerard, trying to shove him off the bed, but they weren't in the bed anymore. They were in the living room, and Gerard was... Frank swallowed the acid in his throat and looked at the lamp by his bed. The rosary was draped over the shade where he'd left it, and Gerard was wearing PJs, not a collar.
"It was a dream," Gerard repeated, shuffling closer to Frank on the sweat-soaked sheets.
He was still holding Frank's hands, but he let go of one now to clasp Frank's shoulder firmly.
"Just a dream, sweetheart. It's over now."
"You were..." Frank started, and then just folded forward against Gerard, who wrapped his arms around him tight and rocked him a little.
"It's over now," he repeated softly, pressing a kiss into Frank's hair. "I'm right here."
Frank wriggled his arm out enough to touch Gerard's side of the bed, where the covers were thrown back. It was cold, and he drew back.
"But you weren't... You went to read in the living room, didn't you?"
Gerard ducked his head. "You were sleeping," he said guiltily. "I didn't think you'd notice." "Yeah, well..." Frank pushed him away a little and curled up, hugging his knees to his chest and squeezing his eyes shut against the memory of the dream. "I did notice."
"I'm sorry."
Gerard came to sit next to him, hugging his own knees so he was mirroring Frank's pose. "I came as soon as I heard you shout." Frank wiped his face against his shoulder and sighed, looking up at the ceiling while he tried to find a way to explain it that Gerard might finally be able to understand. "If you'd been here, then you could have woken me as soon as I started to make any noise, as soon as the dream started."
"Well, actually, even what feels like a really long dream can last just 5 minutes in real time,"
Gerard began, and Frank just wasn't in the mood for his fucking lectures right now. So he started to climb out of bed, but Gerard stopped him.
"No, Frank, don't, please, I'm sorry, okay? I won't do it again."
"Gerard," Frank sighed. Gerard was trying, Frank knew he was. "Just shut up and lie down." Gerard pulled the covers back up and spooned around Frank from behind, holding him close. He laid his cheek against the back of Frank's neck.
"What was it? The dream?"
Frank closed his eyes and pressed back into the warm curve of Gerard's body. "I don't want to talk about it." Gerard was quiet for a minute. "Okay," he said, and Frank could tell that he knew, but there was no point in discussing it. They'd been down that road before, and it just ended up with them both getting upset. Frank was too tired and too pissed, and he didn't have the energy. On the other hand, he would never get back to sleep with Gerard lying behind him, all tense and sad and frustrated. Frank wriggled around to face him. Gerard's eyes were closed, and his mouth was turned down at the corners. Frank sighed. "It's all right," he said. He found the cross around Gerard's neck and tangled his fingers in the chain. "It's okay. We're okay." Gerard shook his head against the pillow, then opened his eyes.
I just wish that I could make them stop, he said anxiously. The dreams, I wish I could find a way.
Frank shushed him. You can. Just, you can be here when I wake up. Okay?
Okay. Gerard nodded hard. I will, Frankie. I promise. I mean it this time.
Frank had heard it before, so he wasn't sure if he believed it. But he knew that Gerard did, and that was what counted in the end.
Does she only ever appear to one person?
Gerard shook his head.
No, Mary has been seen by more than one person at once, or different people in the same spot, but it's usually children. There was this one case in Egypt where she was reportedly seen by millions of people over like 3 years, but, well, it was the 60s, so...
Bob tapped his pen against his teeth. Is our girl even Catholic?
That doesn't really matter, Gerard told him. Typically, visions of her are reported by Christians, but we have to remember that Mary has a place in lots of other faiths, too.
Frank cleared his throat. How do we even know she's really seeing Mary? He asked, ignoring Mikey when he wrote, "Jealous," in long, skinny letters on his pad and pushed it over for Frank to see.
Sometimes people just see a lady and everyone assumes it's Mary, right?
Yes, Gerard nodded happily. He loved it when Frank let slip he'd been reading up. It was kind of adorable. Especially kids, and of course there's always the possibility that she's seeing something that's only claiming to be Mary.
Or, Brian said heavily, she's up to her eyeballs in drugs.
Ray shook his head. Mikey says she's not.
Brian made a face. He said that about that kid with the blue hair, too.
Mikey rolled his eyes. Man, I make one shitty call, and you never let me live it down, Schechter. What about that time you gave Ray the brimstone instead of the limestone, and the whole place stank like eggs for a week?
Brian scowled.
It was labeled wrong.
It was labeled perfectly, Ray corrected him, affronted. You can't fucking read.
Anyway, Gerard said loudly, over the top of them, there are different types of Marian apparition, depending on whether she speaks, whether she gives specific instructions. If it seems like it's the real deal, then we'll have to pass it off to the church and the bishop can assess it himself.
The real deal? Bob raised an eyebrow. Like this actually happens?
The Vatican have officially approved Marian apparitions as recently as last year.
Frank nodded.
Bob rolled his eyes. Since when do you believe anything the Vatican says?
Gerard made a long-suffering face. Bob, you can't still be skeptical about this shit after everything we've seen.
You would be amazed at what I can be skeptical about, Bob said darkly.
Brian nodded. It's true. He doesn't believe in the moon landing.
Ray sputtered. What's not to believe?
It looks like it was filmed in someone's garage.
Oh, please, like that many people could keep that big a secret for this long? You and your conspiracy theories, Christ, I'm going to start calling you Doubting Bob.
Bob crumpled up a sheet of paper and threw it at Ray's head. Ray squawked and threw it back. But before they could get into a repeat of the great stationary fight of last month, Mikey slapped the table, sat up straight, and said, "She's here." They all turned around, and sure enough, 30 seconds later, the doors opened, and the skinny red-haired chick from the park walked in, looking freaked out and like she pretty much thought they were going to try to kill her.
"Hi," said Brian, moving forward to take her hand. "I'm Brian Schechter. You must be Ruth."
She nodded, darting skittish glances at the rest of them.
"I'm not, I mean," she looked at Mikey, then at the floor, scratching her elbow. "Mikey said you could help me."
"I'm sure that we can," said Gerard, coming around the table. He pulled out a chair. "You want to sit down?" She looked like she wanted to run, but Gerard made that face that you couldn't help trusting, no matter how freaked out you were. Frank knew from experience that nobody could resist it, and Ruth was no exception, moving slowly forward and sinking into the chair.
"I know it's weird," she said, huddling further into her sweater. "I don't expect you guys to believe me."
"You'd be surprised how often we hear that," Frank told her. giving her what he hoped was a reassuring smile. "And we almost always do," Ray said kindly. "Hey, you want a coffee or something?"
"I do,"
Gerard said immediately, then frowned. "I don't have the right books. Frankie, come help me?"
"Sure," said Frank, pushing his chair back and following Gerard into the back room.
He held his arms out while Gerard sifted slowly through the pile on his desk, muttering to himself and occasionally passing a book to Frank.
"I'm really not jealous," Frank told him.
"Uh-huh,"
Gerard said absently.
"I'm not," Frank insisted.
Gerard just dumped another book in his arms.
"I am, kind of. I always wanted to have a vision."
"The closest I ever came was dreaming that me and the Cardinal went to the beach."
"What?" Gerard laughed, startled, his face splitting into a huge grin and his eyes crinkling up at the corners. "You never told me about that."
Frank grinned back, shifting the books in his arms.
"Yeah, it was when he came to visit me in the hospital, you know. I fell asleep while he was there, and I guess my subconscious decided to carry on the conversation. You were there, too. You had a bucket and a spade."
Gerard laughed again, but his eyebrows creased.
"The Cardinal came to visit you in the hospital?"
Frank nodded. "Before I came to see you at the airport. I don't know when it was, exactly. I was pretty out of it. I didn't tell you about it?"
Gerard was frowning for real now, the book in his hands forgotten.
"Are you sure?"
"Yes," Frank said impatiently. "Why?"
He never told me."
Frank shrugged, like he's usually so free and easy with the info.
Gerard ducked his head, allowing that, but he said,
"I just don't know when he would have had time. I mean, I was all..."
He waved a hand around his face, which Frank guessed was meant to mean recently recovered from demonic possession.
"And there were kind of a lot of confused people in hooded robes for him to take care of, too."
"But we had this whole conversation," Frank started.
Then he remembered the way he'd felt, how everything had been floaty and painless, and not like when he woke up to Ray and Bob at all.
"I guess the whole thing was a dream," he said reluctantly.
"I guess." Gerard was looking at Frank intently, like he wanted to ask more questions about it. But then Mikey stuck his head around the door.
"She's ready to talk, guys," he said.
"All right." Frank took the last book in Gerard's hands and jerked his head for Gerard to lead the way. "Let's get to work."
The end.